Listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, in Washington, D.C., a great drama is being played out in the Congressional Committee investigating the Waco Massacre. There are a lot of questions that are not being answered. These people are doing the investigating except for three or four who consistently are trying to get to the real problem, act as if they don't know the first thing about government, how it's organized, the law, jurisdiction, venue. In fact, they act like they haven't even heard of Waco, Texas until just now. Despite the maneuvering, despite the backbiting and the charges that run back and forth of manipulating the committee, some congressmen are asking the right questions, or at least some of the right questions. And so far, everything that has been heard proves that the investigations done by the militias and the patriots in this nation were right on target. It is terrifying what is coming out. But what you're going to hear tonight is even more terrifying when you learn of the deception and the outright lies that have been worked against the American people. Tonight we're going to talk about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, its origin, what its authority is, what its justification for what it has done is, if any. We're also going to talk about the Internal Revenue Service, which according to all the documentation that we can find, is exactly the same organization as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And tonight, we have the man who has done more to bring out this information through Freedom of Information Act request. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, Mr. Benson.
And how are you tonight?
Well, I can't wait to hear what you've got to say. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself, how you got into this, And what led you up to what led you down the path that you've trod, and how you got to this point? If you'll do that, so that our listening audience will have a background in which to judge what they're going to hear later in this broadcast. And of course, folks, remember, you are not ever to listen to the Hour of the Time without a pad and pencil by your side. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. And if you don't conduct the research, you keep your mouth shut because you haven't got the right to open it. The floor is yours, Wayne.
All right, back in 1971, a man, an Arizona lawyer by the name of Rehnquist, was nominated to become a Supreme Court jurist. And he was opposed by certain senators, and he was also opposed by the Internal Revenue Service. They did not want him to become a justice on the Supreme Court. He was quite conservative and quite a good attorney and so forth. In order to prevent his confirmation, rumors were spread, which were all lies, by the way, that he was involved in crimes, which and the crime was said to be that he was deliberately preventing black people from voting at the 1962 election in Phoenix. And they actually named the precinct where all this took place. There are two things wrong with their lies. One, there was never a crime committed down there except people coming in to vote a second time. Basically, Mexican nationals were voting names that hadn't voted yet and trying to get away with it. And they were being stopped pretty well. And the other is that Rehnquist never entered that precinct that day. He was never even, to my knowledge, even close to it. And I was, and I had kept a written record of everybody that walked in and out of that precinct, and his name wasn't on it. So I was threatened by the so-called IRS, and I actually believed at one time, by the way, that that was their real name, not to give my testimony to the FBI, which was then to go on to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I gave him the testimony, offered the proof of his innocence, and he was confirmed, as everybody knows, as a justice. Then in 1985, he was nominated to become Chief Justice, and the same lies and allegations were spread through the news media again. And for a second time, I took my story and gave it to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and for a second time, he was cleared and became Chief Justice. But what happened after that, that occurred the first time in 1971. Nothing happened for a while, and then the winter of 72, February, I received a letter from this gal from the IRS, and she wanted to audit me. Now, being new to this and knowing almost nothing about it, I actually believed in the superstition that this thing called the Internal Revenue Service could actually audit members of the public, which they're not authorized to do, but everybody thinks so. So I did a minimal audit, and only those things which they had requested by letter. Had a lot of fun with it. I moved up into the mountains of Arizona where it's quite cold. This is February. The house was cooled with a wood-burning stove. No one had been home all day. Therefore, the house was cold. I sat her down by a window and opened it, and it was snowing outside. So she bundled up, got upset. I wouldn't let her plug in her adding machine. There's no law that says I have to give her electricity, and I'm not allowed to sell it, so she was not allowed to plug in her adding machine. And after a few minutes, she left. But then they came back 2 weeks later and 2 weeks later, and then the special agents started to arrive. So I decided that I simply had to learn all about this agency as a means of protecting myself. So I began to do so, and my first study was with the Freedom of Information Act, which had been passed in 1965. And I had used it once or twice in the late 60s, about 1969, 70, something like that. And so when some special agents showed up, I thought, well, this will be a good time to try it again. So as I was making notes about the special agents, how they were dressed and how tall they were, their names, their ID and so forth, they ran out of the office. They got scared and ran away. And all I did was just ask for, wrote down information about them. And And then I filed a request for their report. It was first denied. I went to court, sued them, and the district court awarded me a copy of their report. It said I had threatened them. But here's the strange thing. They actually put in the report that my threat was by making notes on a yellow pad, which indicates paranoia apparently is one of the prerequisites for becoming a special agent. Not much intelligence is required, but paranoia seems to be.
Well, from what I've learned from my own studies and from the studies of others, they really should be paranoid, shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. It's not all paranoia, but some of it is. So as you go through all this, you learn that everything we thought we knew about this so-called IRS and so forth and BATF, by the way, there was no BATF until 1972. And everything we thought we know, by the way, is all wrong. You cannot name anything that you think you know about the agency that's correct. For example, Congress never created the ATF. Congress never created the Internal Revenue Service. All of these things are just phantom names. They're actually aliases to let you know that you really, so that you'll never get to the truth. I think you've heard previously that 31 U.S.C., which is the title on Treasury and Banking and so forth, Chapter 3 of Title 31 lists all the agencies of the Department of the Treasury, all the organizations. There is no Internal Revenue Service. There is no Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And there is no U.S. Secret Service. Those are all kind of phantom things hanging around somewhere, but they're not what we think they are. And then as you read further into Title 31, you'll come to Section 1321, which is a list of 90 trust funds maintained by the Department of Treasury. Trust fund number 2 is the Philippine Trust Fund, and the actual name of the Philippine Trust Fund is Internal Revenue, written in lowercase letters. So when you read Internal Revenue in lowercase letters, you're talking about alcohol taxes in the Philippines. And that goes all the way back to like 1906, I think, something like that. Then you go on, trust fund number 62 is the Puerto Rican trust fund, and that's written Internal Revenue in capital letters, first letter capitalized. So if you're reading in a law or regulation about internal revenue and it's capitalized, then you know you're talking about the Puerto Rican trust fund. And what happened, how most of this got started after the Philippines, and none of the taxes really have anything to do with the 16th Amendment. The Supreme Court ruled that the 16th Amendment did nothing more than permit the government to tax non-resident aliens in the Philippines. As far as I'm concerned, you can go tax all the non-resident aliens in the Philippines you want to. You know, what do I care? But basically that meant Japanese, specifically, who would travel from Japan to the Philippines, make a lot of money, and then go home. But what happened, there was a Federal Alcohol Act passed in the mid-30s, and that act went to the Supreme Court, and that Federal Alcohol Act was actually a part of the National Industrial Reconstruction Act and all of those laws that Roosevelt jammed through Congress to supposedly rehabilitate the country. And the Federal Alcohol Act was one of those rehabilitation or reconstruction acts. And the Supreme Court struck the Federal Alcohol Act down. And so it was transferred to the Bureau of Internal Revenue, which was actually the Philippine taxing agency. And that is now called, by the way, the Internal Revenue Service. The Bureau of Internal Revenue got a new name and adopted the term Internal Revenue Service in 1953. Then in 1972, they split off the so-called Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms from the Internal Revenue Service. But it really wasn't a split. It just meant that this term over here, BATF, was going to perform certain functions about the alcohol taxes, and the IRS was going to do their function about the alcohol taxes. And within the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, when it was formed in 1972, there was an agency called Director, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Tobacco and Firearms Division. And then that division adopted the term Internal Revenue Service in 1975. So everything you think that is alcohol, tobacco, and firearms belongs to the ATF, the answer is no. And it's such a jumbled mess, I'm sure it's very, very difficult to figure out what goes to anything. But in Title 26, which people believe is administered by the so-called IRS, very little of it is administered by the, quote, IRS or the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. And what we have in Title 26, Chapters 61 through 80, are those laws pertain to what we call the procedures for keeping records, examination of the records, a determination by a district director upon examination of your records that you're required to file a return or not required to file a return. And then it also has to do with internal audit. IRS can audit themselves if the amount in controversy is less than $750. Over that, the audit must be conducted by the Inspector General. They don't even let IRS do much of an audit on themselves. $750 is a pretty small change, organization like that. All right, then also Chapter 61 through 80, you have filing requirements, record keeping, examination, assessment. After assessment, you have how to pay, you have tax court, you have criminal investigation, you have and prosecution. But all of that is delegated not to the IRS, not even to the term Internal Revenue Service. That's all delegated to the one called the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in Puerto Rico. Understand, BATF is a Puerto Rican tax agency. It's not a tax agency in this country unless they are chasing down a Puerto Rican product on which the tax has not been paid. For example, if someone bootlegged in the Puerto Rican rum and didn't pay the tax, the so-called BATF could chase it down and collect the tax. So, by the way, IRS is not even permitted to maintain a record of any activity relevant to Chapters 61 through 80. That's assessment, record keeping, and so forth. They can't even keep a record like that, only BATF. Okay, is all that clear?
Well, it's certainly clear to me. I don't know about the listening audience, though. What you're basically saying is that the BATF is not an agency of the United States government, but is, in fact, a trust fund set up by the United States government, which has its place or venue or jurisdiction, whatever you want to call it, in Puerto Rico. And it's basically been set up what do you call it, really? I mean, what really is it?
Well, actually, it's just that. They do the BATF stuff for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Here's what we found also, by the way, that, you know, IRS offices off this big computer, so you go through and you learn what these codes mean, and there's thousands of them, probably 30,000 computer codes.
Yeah, but let me interrupt you right here, Wayne, because, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why should you even care what the codes say if they have no jurisdiction in a state such as Arizona? If all they are set up to do is tax alcohol in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, what do we care?
Because they have everybody believing that you're required to file this so-called income tax return.
Okay, please forgive me if I play the devil's advocate, because I'm going to try to ask some of the questions that I know the audience are thinking in their mind.
That's quite all right. Please go ahead and ask them, because that's the best way to get it out. All right, because they have all these millions of people believing that they have to file this income tax return, and they even think they go to jail if they fail to file an income tax return, which they believe to be a Form 1040. Form 1040, since day one, since it's required, was a should be, not a required return, but a should file type of return, only pertaining to non-resident aliens or the agent of a non-resident alien in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, or if one of those people came to this country, they had to file it, they would have income. Income is defined in the law this way, and I hear it all the time from these, I don't know, I won't call them what I think they are, but...
Yeah, the same problem I do.
They go around saying, well, there is no definition of income, and the answer is, yes, there is. And this is the definition. The income must be foreign earned, windfall profits, i.e. an offshore oil well, or war profits. And that's all there is to income, taxable income.
Now, this is absolutely incredible. If everybody in America could hear this, and they went and checked for themselves, I think that there would be the greatest wave of anger run across this country that has ever existed in the world, because we've literally been cheated, robbed, scammed, conned, and they've literally stolen a good portion of this nation through this process.
Absolutely. Families and businesses have been ruined. It's caused divorce, hardship.
Suicide.
Yeah, right. And by the way, when that return that these people think they are required to file, the money does not go to the government, and it is actually a code is put on it to say that it is a non-taxable return. That's why the codes are important. It's actually given a code that means a non-taxable return. Thank you, you idiot, for sending us the money.
Now, I went through a long process over a period of years, and I have a letter that says I'm not a taxpayer. But what does that mean? What does it mean if you're a taxpayer or you're not a taxpayer?
Okay, a taxpayer is also defined in the law, and to be a taxpayer, you must first be a tax collector. You are a revenue agent who is collecting taxes. By the way, the definition of a revenue agent only pertains to a revenue agent, always means a Puerto Rican revenue agent. That's in the law, under the definitions. So, and revenue agents either collect or go around and say you owe money, and then the revenue officer collects the tax and the returns. Now, when he collects the tax, he has to file a return for the taxes he's collected. Those are filed with a district director. The district director then has to file a tax return with the service center showing the amount of taxes he's collected in his district. And then the service center in Ogden or wherever has to file a tax return with Washington, D.C. And the Commissioner of Internal Revenue in Washington, D.C. wraps it up by filing a tax return with the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. And when he files that return, the Secretary of the Treasury, or the Commissioner of Internal Revenue files that return. They actually take their deductions for what it costs to collect all these taxes.
Now, is this why there's such opposition to Puerto Rico becoming a state?
Well, Puerto Rico becoming a state, the federal government would lose their tax con.
But, like you said, it doesn't go to the nation. It doesn't go, it's really siphoned off.
Oh yeah, it goes into what is, and the account is called Quad Zero. In a Quad Zero account, the director of the service center can do anything he wants with the money. And what they do, they actually make contracts for the Agency for International Development. And these contracts provide for district directors and directors of service centers, assistant commissioners, and all these other bigwigs to become members of the board of directors of some corporation in a foreign country that doles out the aid money. You'd be surprised the number of Learjets it takes to keep them, you know, where they can fly in for a meeting and so forth. They go through billions on this, but the money really never gets to help anybody in the country. It's all siphoned off by these bureaucratic crooks. I mean, let's get to the bottom of it. That's all they are.
Well, we've always been aware of that, but if they understand that this is a scam, why do they file these returns?
Well, they have to file certain legitimate returns because there are legitimate taxes, and those are called tax class 6 or non-master file returns, and those taxes actually do get to the treasury of the federal government.
So what is that? I mean, and who levies it, and who's responsible for filing it and paying it?
Well, basically the taxable returns are filed by the government. for the taxes they've collected on alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and the customs taxes that have been collected. State Department collects certain taxes and fees, and those have to be filed with the Internal Revenue Service. Those are legitimate taxes and are paid into the Treasury. All the custom taxes that are collected, of course, go into the Treasury. So there are real legitimate taxes. But these so-called 1040 taxes, that's nothing more than a scam. Although there probably is a very, very small percentage of what we call 1040 taxes where the money literally gets to the government. But we're probably talking like one return out of a million or at least several hundred thousand.
And none of these are returns or taxes that the people are required to pay.
No, there is nothing for them to pay. It's just that everybody believes that they, quote, have income. They don't.
Say that again.
Everybody believes...
No, back up. There's nothing for them.
There's nothing for these people to file and pay on, no.
There you go. Okay.
The issue is they don't... If they had taxable income, then there would be a return to file.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't know anybody with an offshore oil well.
I don't either.
If I had one, I'd have to file the tax.
Uh-huh.
I've explained to them, if you'll get me the offshore oil well, I'll pay your tax. So then, go screw yourself.
And what do they say to you?
They just walk away. Because they know I don't have an offshore oil well, they know I don't have foreign earned income, and they know I don't have war profits.
Uh-huh.
Now, all these taxes, like for estates and trust and so forth, all of that comes under war profits.
I'll say that again now.
The income from estates and trust.
Yeah.
Okay, that income, they say, well, yeah, if you have a trust or an estate or whatever, you have to pay these taxes. But that all comes under the so-called war profits tax.
You mean if you have a trust, you have to pay these taxes?
Well, people think so. And IRS wants to make you think so. So it would have to be, if the trust maintained by the federal government, for people in the military and other things. For example, one of the trust funds that pays a tax is the, like for Marine pay or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or Marines that were killed in duty and there's a certain trust fund for their insurance.
So the only trusts that do have to pay a tax and file a return are trusts owned by the United States government.
Right. And there's 90 of them that they own.
Uh-huh.
And I know that they have to file a return because I asked for a copy of the return and the IRS said, no, you can't have a copy of those returns.
Now, have you ever seen a copy of the delegation of authority for the Internal Revenue Service?
Oh, yeah, I have all of them.
And what does it say?
Well, you'd be surprised. There's a whole book of them, by the way, and not just a single delegation. It starts with number 4 for summonses. By the way, summonses are all relevant only to a tax treaty, what they call the Caribbean Basin Tax Treaty. In other words, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Jamaica, and so forth. But they all still have to do with alcohol, but it has to be related to money made down there in the Caribbean Basin.
Uh-huh.
Your lawyer will tell you, no, you have to turn over the records. I go to these meetings frequently. We never turn over a scrap of paper. Nothing ever happens.
Well, I've never done that either, and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
But
our argument is always, if this person has information about the Caribbean Basin Tax Treaty, then they could give it, turn it over. Otherwise, there isn't any, so there's nothing to give you.
Don't go away, folks, and please hang on there. Wayne, we'll be right back after the short pause.
All right.
Absolutely incredible what you're hearing tonight and what you've always heard on the hour of the time. We bring you the facts We give you the references. We tell you not to believe us. Go out and check it for yourself. And those who do are amazed. Those who don't continue to be puppets for the rest of their life. This is the most exciting time in the history of the world to be alive. Every single person on the face of this earth today has a genuine 100% opportunity to make their mark upon history and do something genuinely good for the future of humankind. And basically, all it takes is to get up off your butt. One of the things that you've got to do, because when, as all of this comes out, as all of these secrets are exposed, as all of the criminal activity is opened up to the light of day, there's going to be a panic. There's going to be an attempt to regain control by those who have the power. One of the best ways to do it, in the way that I've been warning you since I began my appointed task as messenger to the sheeple of this country anyway, and to the world, is to take down the economy. You see, people who are hungry, we have to understand something, folks. What we're using as money today is not money. It's not currency. It isn't even notes. And if the economy were to collapse tomorrow, if there were to be a tremendous collapse of the stock market, which could not happen in one day because they have safeguards built in that will stop it at a certain point and close it down. But when it opened up again, it could continue to fall. And when they opened it up again, it could continue to fall. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of these days it's going to happen. As more and more of this stuff comes out, this is going to happen. They'll pull the plug. And when they do, it's going to be an awful lot of poor people without jobs, without food, without shelter, without property, and yes, maybe even without a blanket. Anyone who has real money, can safeguard that real money, and knows how to use it, is going to survive. And folks, don't kid yourself. Don't think it can't happen here or can't happen to you. If you've been paying attention recently, it's all happening here, and it is happening to you. And if you've been paying attention to the Waco hearings, and especially if you've been paying attention to Mr. Wayne Benson tonight, you know that we're in deep, deep trouble. These people will not hesitate to do whatever it takes to maintain their power, their control, and their wealth. They want one world totalitarian socialist government. They want only two classes of people, the rulers and the ruled. For those of you who keep hiding in the closet because you're afraid you're going to get on somebody's list, let me set you straight right now. There's only one list, and you're already on it. You see, if you're not one of them, you're one of us. And if you're one of us, you're on the list. Fear is how they've been able to work this con throughout the years. And we're going to talk about that with Mr. Benson when we get back to him. But right now, if you want to be one of the survivors, you'd better get your hands on some real money. You'd also better have some beans, bullets, and a good copy of whatever religious book that you believe in, because you're going to need a lot of spiritual sustenance to go along with the beans, bullets, and the money. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody or panic anybody. I've been able to back up everything I've said on this broadcast since I started. And I maintain this statement. Anybody who can prove me wrong, I will go on the air and retract whatever statement I've made that's wrong. And I will tell you what we've discovered. Right now, you better call Swiss America Training and get your hands on some real money, real gold and silver coin, or bullion, or any of the forms of precious metals that you so desire, just as long as you have at least some of your assets protected. It's important, folks. It is extremely important that you don't get caught with your pants down. Look around at the faces of your loved ones. If you can't honestly tell them to their face right now that you have done everything in your power to protect your assets so that they don't end up freezing in some ditch half full of water, then you must make this call. 1-800-289-2646 and do it now. 1-800-BUY-COIN. I urge you to do the research that it takes to find out the truth of what you're hearing tonight. I urge you to do it. I've done it over many years, and I don't come anywhere near knowing everything that Mr. Wayne Benson knows, but I know an awful lot of this, and I've got so much more to know, and so do you. And if we're going to stop this scam, and if we're going to maintain our liberty, we've got to do what it takes. And what it takes is for you to get up off that couch, get down to your library, make freedom of information requests, study at federal depository libraries, and find out what the truth really is. Just a few of us aren't going to save the many, but the many can save us all, believe me. What do you think about that, Wayne?
Is people studying?
About people going out and looking this stuff up and finding out what's what.
Yeah, well, by the way, when it comes to reading about taxes, the so-called tax code 26 USC never pertains to the public. In fact, in 7801, it says all of this code is administered either by or under the direction of the Secretary of the Treasury. Nothing in there pertains to the public, but the regulations might pertain to the public. Many of the regulations also pertain to officers and employees of the BATF, IRS, Customs, and so on. But so read the regulations. Now, that's big. That's five big volumes, or four, depending on how it's printed. But people can do it. And what you do, you read it in the evening, you tab pages that need copying, then you make a subject matter file for all of these important subjects, like anytime you come to the word assessment or 23C or audit, criminal investigation, prosecution. You make a file about that so you have all these references from the regulations about it. By the way, it's very interesting. There is no regulation pertaining to failure to file entitled in 26 CFR. The only form that I can ever find that is identified as specific to failure to file is form 5713, and none of you have ever heard of it.
The truth is, you're in more trouble if you do file than if you don't.
Well, not only that, but you're giving your money away and you're helping the enemy.
That's correct.
Now, people think it's the patriotic thing to do, file and pay their income taxes. These people have never paid income tax. Their form is coded non-taxable. The money is not taxed. But it is scammed off and used for purposes that are detrimental to the 50 states. And so they're not doing us any good by filing, and certainly no good by paying. But most of them are afraid not to.
Well, it's even worse than that, in my estimation, because the only reason that they're doing it is somebody told them to do it, and they really have no idea whether they're supposed to or not.
Well, I've asked a lot of so-called experts, i.e. tax lawyers, tell me the filing requirement for a 1040. None of them have ever been able to show me a filing requirement. Even in criminal cases, we've asked revenue agents and revenue officers who are testifying to show us the filing requirement. None ever can. I know what the filing requirement is. I'll even tell you where it is. But the problem is, you never file a return with the Internal Revenue Service. Any return that must be filed has to be filed with what is called the Director of International Operations. Let me give you the address for that. It's 26 CFR 1.6091. And there's all the filing requirements, but nothing is filed with the so-called Internal Revenue Service except a Internal Revenue Service, which is a little sub-function of this Director of International Operations, who collects taxes for collects excise taxes for Puerto Rico.
Now, in light of all this,
uh-huh.
and knowing what happened in Waco,
right? Well, Waco is just nothing. The government likes to kill people. First of all, I have it's nearly 500 pages, a report prepared by Secretary of the Treasury Benson for the President. In that book, first of all, they admit they were wrong. The only purpose of this so-called raid was to serve a warrant on David Koresh. The guy serving the warrant had been into this so-called compound on several occasions, had become friends with Koresh, and got a hand in it to him anytime he wanted to.
And Koresh, in fact, knew who he was, didn't he?
But yes, he knew he was a BATF agent.
And he never did anything to hurt him or threaten him or anything?
No, the guy came and went frequently, went to their Bible studies and so on and so forth. But their so-called reason for doing this was to force him to accept this warrant. All they had to do was hand it to him. But instead they chose to basically assassinate, murder, kill, barbecue, all those innocent people.
And in fact, they had no right or authority to be there or to do any of the things that they were doing.
No, because Koresh had not violated any kind of a federal law.
And he didn't own any offshore oil wells.
No.
And he wasn't bringing in rum from Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands.
No.
And he wasn't smuggling in arms from Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands.
Oh, and they said, well, they thought he had illegal arms. But you and I cannot own an illegal arm unless it was imported from Puerto Rico and the tax not paid. That's the only thing that would make it illegal. You and I can own a 20-millimeter automatic machine gun cannon if we want.
And some people do.
I understand. But they're not illegal. If you don't have a tax or license on it, it's okay. It's not illegal because every permit, either for a federal firearms license or every permit for a so-called machine gun, comes from the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. You tell me why anybody in this country has to get a permit from the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico.
Now, why is it that nobody ever reads these things?
Because nobody ever reads the law. I've never read. I've talked to a few firearms dealers. They have never read Title 27 or 27 CFR in their life.
It's worse than that. They've never read their FFL.
They've never read that. Boy, the FFL is approved by the guy. What's his title? Let me see if I can remember here. Okay, yeah. The director, the regional director of compliance. The regional director of compliance is a part of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in Puerto Rico.
This is incredible. Recently, Tina tells me you filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the BATF, and the answer came back through the Secret Service. What does that mean?
Well, what it was is I was asking for the identity of the person who was administering the Federal Alcohol Act, which in 1930, late 30s, had determined to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have a Federal Alcohol Act in this country. So it was moved to Puerto Rico, but the BATF, they are still administering and enforcing the Federal Alcohol Act because it's in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked, well, who is enforcing this thing? And I asked that of the Secretary of the Treasury. And it took a long time because my request went through several agencies. And finally the answer came back. They gave me the appointment affidavit of the Director of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. But it came from the Secret Service.
What is the connection there? Who is the Secret Service?
I wish I knew.
Does anybody know? I know it started out to be a branch of the Pinkerton Detective Agency many, many years ago, but what is it now? And you haven't been able to find out anything about...
Well, very little. All of their rules and regulations are supposed to be published at 31 CFR 400 through 499. But 410 through 499 is blank. They've never published it. And the only regulations they've published are those pertaining to, you know, White House pass and little stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you think the Secret Service is there really to protect the president?
Well, that's part of their job, yes. That part is actually published. But the rest of what they are authorized to do has not been published, and you can't find out about them. They won't give you a copy of their field structure.
I think part of their job is to let the president know that if he gets out of line, he's surrounded by people who really work for somebody else.
Could be. But, you know, the law, the Freedom of Information Act, requires every agency, bureau, and so forth to print and make available to the public their national and field office structure. And Secret Service won't do that. They just won't do it.
Could suit be brought to force them to do it if the law says they must?
Probably will be one, yeah. Yeah, probably will be. But things about tax, you'd be surprised how much the misinformation. For example, people say, well, my house has been seized by IRS. IRS does not seize houses. Customs seizes them, and the Coast Guard seizes them, but they use IRS for a front. And when IRS, quote, seizes your house for taxes, they have to turn it over to the commandant of the Coast Guard because they're actually collecting, supposedly, you see, something that came through without the tax being paid, came through the border.
Makes me feel like screaming.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But government has given this tax agency all these aliases. Their name is the Bureau of Internal Revenue, the Federal Alcohol Act, Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands Bureau of Internal Revenue, the U.S. Internal Revenue Service in Puerto Rico, and on and on. They have all these aliases,
mm-hmm. So
that people never know with whom they're really talking. But the truth is, you're either talking to the Philippines or you're talking to the Federal Alcohol Administration.
Now, let me ask you something, Wayne. There's this seminar coming up on Saturday.
Yes.
What are the people going to learn there?
Okay, we're going to tell all of these subjects I've been speaking to you about. They're going to get a book, nearly 200 pages. In that book, all these exhibits will be there, all identified. Everything is there so they can refer to them, use them, and so on. The rest of it is we're going to spend the whole afternoon teaching them how to make a proper Freedom of Information Act request to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Which is, in fact, the Internal Revenue Service.
Right, but if you want a BATF reference, you have to go to it, call us a BATF.
Okay.
You have to do it that way. And we provide the copies of the law, the rules and regulations, and then we have all these exhibits of how to make the actual request and do it correctly, because if you don't do it correctly, it's not a request. They don't have to give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
How to file the appeal, where to file it, how to make out the envelope, time elapses and so forth, how to keep track of it, and then not only BATF, but we tell them how to make requests to Secret Service, Secretary, and the Secretary of the Treasury. People are going to have to find out what is going on and find out for themselves. They are going to have to be able to say, I obtained this myself from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. Now, if they do all of this, and if they know the right thing to say at the right time, they don't ever have to file or pay this phony tax to this phony, baloney bureau ever again.
Well, there's millions of people who don't file. Of course, some of them do get in trouble because they don't know what to say.
Uh-huh.
Most people talk too much and make defensive, start a defense, you know, when they first contacted. Actually, the first criminal contact will be a letter, and that letter will make you think they're looking for a Form 1040, but they don't have any letters asking you to file a Form 1040. Letters generally are asking you to file Form 8288, which is a backup withholding form when you import narcotics into the Virgin Islands. You have to withhold 20% of the purchase price and pay it to the Commissioner of Narcotics. And many of the letters are asking for that form, except they all ask in code, as in called a CP code or computer paragraph. And on the letter, people read the English, you get all excited, the English verbiage. But the real letter will be in, like, there'll be a code somewhere that says CP515, for example. Alright? The letter is in 515, not what they read in front of them. But because they don't understand the codes, they respond to the wrong thing, and they lose their first round of administrative procedure in the criminal division.
Now, let me ask you something. I know a person who didn't file, refused to file, and he got a letter from the district director saying the district director had filled out his return, signed his name for the person, and had filed the return and was assessing the taxes that were owed and served a notice of lien in the county court, at the county courthouse. And now this person, who never even filed a return or signed anything, is having a notice of liens put against him, which are not liens at all, we know that, for returns that were filled out and signed by the district director of the Internal Revenue.
Okay. Without knowing that return, I've seen the situation several times. Let me tell you what I know about them in general. One, the return was filled out and assessed for a zero amount. It was also posted as a non-taxable return, and it was posted as a Virgin Islands return. But there was no assessment because the IRS cannot make assessments. Only BATF can make an assessment.
But they're going to take his property.
Only because he doesn't know how to defend himself.
Okay, that's the point I wanted to get to, and I hope you're all listening out there. You should be at this seminar Saturday, July 29th from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can bet your boots I'm going to be there because this man, Mr. Wayne Benson, has an awful lot that I want to learn. And I've been successful in my battles with just what I know, and some of it is turning out to be not so correct. A lot of it is correct. But there's so much more that we all have to learn. I was talking to Wayne Benson on the phone earlier today, making arrangements for this broadcast. And one of the things I made clear to Wayne is, when I was 16 years old, I knew everything. Now that I'm 52, I'm not sure that I know much at all. But one thing that I'm absolutely sure of, we don't live long enough to even begin to know what we should, especially when we don't even start to wake up until a good portion of our life has gone by.
By the way, just to touch up on something, I made a request to BATF after the explosion in Oklahoma, and I asked them to identify the quantity, the name, and the quantity of explosive they obtained from the Army to blow up the building.
Oh, boy.
Those records have been denied to me.
Those records have been... Wait a minute. Say that again. Say what was...
Okay.
Now, I don't get tongue-tied easy, and you just tongue-tied me.
I asked the BATF in Oklahoma for a copy of the document that would identify the name of the explosive and the quantity of explosive they obtained from, what is that, Fort Lewis or Fort Sill or something there in Kansas?
Fort Lewis, I believe.
Fort Lewis, okay, that they obtained from Fort Lewis to blow up the building. BATF has denied me those records.
Which means they exist.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
I also asked them for a copy of the document that told all the BATF agents who worked in that building to be absent that day. That record has been denied. So you understand that this agency is capable of doing anything. They just want power. They don't care how many people they kill. They probably like killing people. Hitler had people like that. They just like to kill people.
Yes, well, in the videotape, that they shot themselves of agents laying around talking about how they were going to kill these people and that they were born to kill and that they were going to go up in the helicopter and I watched that
they like killing people, right?
Yes, I think they're chosen because they have certain psychological characteristics.
But those are called not characteristics; they're called serious disorders.
psychotic illnesses is what they are.
Right. And so they're given positions of power, a weapon. They, you know, go shoot that little old lady. We'll show them how tough we are. But that's her attitude. And but remember, the issue is the records have been denied to me to the quantity and the identity of the explosive they obtained from the military to blow up the building.
Well, Wayne, I want you to take care of yourself. Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper is going to be there. What is he going to talk about?
I don't know. He can talk about anything he wants. He's going to, what I did, I made a trip over to see him several months ago to see if he had helped me with this, and I showed him all the material, and he understood what I was saying. He says, yeah, what do you want me to do? And so basically we're kind of using his name as a drawing card because he's respected throughout the nation, and he is a, quote, draw, and he's well-known and so forth.
Well, you know, when I told people about this seminar, nobody asked me anything about Colonel Cooper. They all want to find out all this stuff that you've got to say.
But
I know that everybody does respect him, and I'm looking forward to meeting him, and I was just wondering what it was he was going to cover, but I guess we'll all find out. How do we, well, it's at the Holiday Inn.
Right out on Black Canyon Highway.
Okay, and for those coming in from out of state, it's the Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 Freeway in Phoenix, Arizona. The price is $60 at the door, cash only. And forget about the $75. I think you heard about that last Friday. And I hope to see you all there. This gentleman has so much to teach me, and if he's got so much to teach me, I know he's got an awful lot to teach most of you. Also on sale at the seminar is the secret 400-plus page official United States Treasury document signed by Secretary of the Treasury Lord Benson, which Treasury we don't know, detailing the Waco incident with accompanying Freedom of Information Act requests, which you can file to discover and uncover federal government abuses and lies for yourself. It's from 9:30 to 5 p.m. this Saturday, and I know a lot of you are going to be flying in. Wayne, I want to thank you so much for being our special guest tonight. I want to get you back on here sometime in the near future. Would you be amenable to that?
Love it.
Wonderful. In the meantime, I'll see you on Saturday, and I can't wait to meet you, and I can't wait to hear what you've got to say.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be looking forward to meeting you and some of your friends.
And say hi to Tina and Mark for me.
Okay, we'll do that.
Good night, folks.
Night.
And God bless you all. You know why President Roosevelt said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's the truth. That's what's held everyone in bondage all these years. That's why you're filing and paying what you don't have to file and pay. That's why you shake in your boots every time somebody sneers in your direction. Stop it now.